In the meeting, Rhino shared with me, he said he feels the Lord is pressing on his heart that there's something important for us to receive those that is the Lord has placed over us, humans, you know, elders, but then also the gifts that the Lord is bringing. So we are quite privileged to have Godfrey sharing today. If I can just use the opportunity to brag a little bit. Before he wasn't PM, he was with us. So welcome back, Godfrey. So yeah, we've known Godfrey as long as we've been in Stellenbosch, and just him and Boitumelo. Where's Boitumelo? To me. So good to have you here. And so let's stretch our hands and let's posture our hearts, you know, really to receive from Godfrey. Father, I thank you for Godfrey. Oh Lord, many of us have come to know him. We've come to see him grow up amongst us. We've seen that he's not just a man of words, but of power and of action. And that he carries the example of Jesus Christ, not just in his sermons, but in his life. A man that can be followed, and a man that is exemplary in all aspects of his faith, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we want to open ourselves up towards him, Lord Jesus. And we want to say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We want to receive him as the gift and the grace as he is, Lord Jesus. So bless him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Kala. So good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful privilege for me to be here this morning. I was chatting to Stuart this morning and saying it feels like, you know, just coming back home. You know, that, when you grow up in your parents' house and then you go out, you know, go do your own thing and then you just come back home to come and visit. It feels like that this morning. And I'm so grateful for Kala and just for this house and just the inheritance that you carry in the kingdom. And maybe to just start off, I don't know how many of you know actually what's the inheritance that this congregation is walking in. And a couple of years ago, about 6 years ago now, we were part of the AM congregation. Leonard Stredom, who was here before he moved to Bloemfontein, felt like, you know, we needed to start a PM congregation. And then out of the PM congregation, we were 40 people that started just before COVID hit. So we had 5 services, COVID hit, and we thought this is the worst time to ever plant a church. And with that 40, we actually had to multiply all of our small groups, our communities online, because this thing was just growing and we didn't anticipate that this is what the Lord would do. And then after that time, just after COVID, we then started saying, hey, we have a bunch of our students who are in the Worcester area, and they struggled to find a church that started to slot in somewhere. So why don't we just every Sunday morning just maybe go that side and just meet and see what it is that God maybe want to do? And then we started doing that for a couple of Sunday, and then a whole congregation was birthed out of that, right? And then with AM, when Richard Gordon was here, they moved, when Kala took over, they moved to the Somerset West congregation, where they planted the Somerset West. And then out of Somerset West, Gordon's Bay came. And then out of Gordon's Bay, Grabo came. So there's a sense that this congregation, you actually have your hands in so many pies. And there's an incredible inheritance in the Lord that you, as saints, are walking in. And I want to, this morning, just want to trust that God would just come in and rekindle that fire for his kingdom again, to say, as much as there's so much ground that has been won, that there's still much more ground to be won. That I think sometimes, even as we were reflecting this morning, we look back at all the things that the Lord has done. And I think each and every single one of us have a CV of everything that God has done in the past. All of us have stories that we're holding on to say, man, this is how the Lord has showed himself in the past. And I think sometimes we settle in those stories. Sometimes we look back at those stories, it's almost like, you know, in Stellenbosch, every now and then you'll meet these old Paul Roos or these old gray guys who, as they just meet together, they'll share the story around the fire and they'll talk about, you know, they've hung their toks or let the toks hang, meaning they've retired, you know, like from playing rugby or whatever. And I think in the kingdom, it's the same. Sometimes we look at a trail run of everything that God has done and our hearts kind of like settle because we do have the CV now. We have the testimonies. We have the stories of what God has done in the past. But I feel like this morning the Lord's saying, for you as a congregation, prophetically, there is more. I feel like there is more. And this morning's call, I pray that it will be a call that calls you in a sense that invokes you. I really hope that this morning, and I know it's a weird way to start a preach, but I hope that you will be unsettled. That's actually what I'm praying for. I'm praying that you will look at your life and that you will rearrange the priorities of what your life revolves around in light of the kingdom of God. And the scripture that I would love to begin with, it's a scripture found in Joshua 13, verse 1. And it says, "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, 'You are old, Joshua.'" Like, imagine that. "You are old and advanced in years. And then listen to these words. 'And there remains yet very much land to possess.'" The Lord is saying, "Joshua, you are old. You have done things." And the chapter before this one, you will see that, you know, that there's an account of 31 nations or 31 territories that Joshua has won. And even after those 31 territories, the Lord is saying, "Joshua, you are old and advanced in years, but there's still much to do. There is still land to possess. That regardless of what you've seen me do in the past, there is a sense that I still have more for you. And I want you to step into the more that I have for you." And while I was just preparing this message, I was reminded as a 16-year-old boy, I grew up in the Free State in Welkom. And I think maybe part of why the Lord called me here is just to sort out all the Welkom that's still in me, to just kick that out. Eh? I know there's someone from Welkom here as well. But I remember as a 16-year-old boy, I got saved out of addiction. I got saved out of alcohol. I got saved out of ancestral worship. I got saved out of not understanding who I was or what my life was all about. But I remember that faithful morning when my pastor preached about the Father heart of God, where I realized that, man, all of my life, I've lived like an orphan. And that morning, I gained an understanding to say that God, the creator of heaven and earth, like, He is my Father. And I remember my life, man, it 180 was turned upside down. And my life was never, ever the same again. I remember, you know, just thinking that it felt like I was in darkness and then I saw light. And then something in me was at such a place where I wanted everyone to hear. I wanted everyone to hear this good news of Jesus Christ and what He had done for me. So as a 16-year-old boy, I remember we would wake up in the morning before our church service starts and we would walk in our community as 16-year-olds preaching the gospel. And you can just imagine a 16-year-old, what gospel are you really preaching? I didn't know what I didn't know. But all I had was this zeal and this fire and this testimony that I was blind, but now I can see. That I was dead, but now I'm alive. That I was lost, but now I'm found. That I didn't know who I was, but in God, I understand now that I am a son of God. I knew that my life had been changed. And I wanted every single person that I knew in my street, wherever, to know this gospel. And then as 16-year-olds, we thought, maybe let's be smart about this thing. Then we asked the church, can we just take the sound equipment of the church, we'll set it up somewhere in the community, and every Sunday, we'll set it up, preach the gospel, and we'll go to church, set it up at church. And that's what we did as 16-year-olds. Like, literally, we would be preaching just in open-air outreaches, and the Lord would move in incredible ways. We would have testimonies like this. Someone saying, I remember one of them, a lady saying, "I was in bed, and I looked at my marriage. It wasn't what it was. I looked at my children, and they were not who I had hoped for them to be. And I was sitting in my bed and looking at everything around me, and I just thought, man, life is not worth living anymore. But then out of a distance, I hear this voice of this small boy saying that there is hope. And that is the thing that has transformed my life." This was a 16-year-old. And then I graduated, in a sense, to being a student. And then in my dorm, in the Free State, I studied at Coffees. What I would do is I would buy a 750 gram of Ree coffee, and I would make free flapjacks, and I would tell the guys in res, "Guys, there's free coffee and free flapjacks." And that was just a hook, because I wanted everyone to come to my room so that I can preach the gospel with them. And then further on, I joined SCAS, and I had the privilege to preach the gospel in all 9 provinces of this country, because there was a fire and a zeal in me. I wanted everyone to taste what I've tasted. I wanted everyone's life to be transformed like my life was transformed. And here's a kicker. As a student, and when I look back, I realize how dangerous some of these things were. As a student, I found a partner in crime. And what we would do is we would set up preaching stations outside of nightclubs. And we would preach the gospel. And God, in his wisdom and in his faithfulness, would use just zealous children who didn't know what they didn't know. But this morning, as I look at the picture, as I look at the testimonies, as I look at the things that God has done in my life, I cannot help but to realize there's a feeling in me that sometimes I think my better days are behind me. Sometimes I think I have all of those stories and all of those testimonies, and something in my heart has settled, you know, to say, you know what, maybe in this season, maybe going forward, I can just cruise. I don't have to do anything more. The Lord has already done a lot. But I feel like this morning there's a reminder that God would want to give you and I to say he's calling us not to settle. Regardless where we're finding ourselves this morning, that there's a call on our lives to say there remains still big land to possess. And I think a man that understood this, who understood what it looked like to grab hold of his inheritance and that which the Lord has promised, was the man called Caleb. And maybe just to give a quick background is in the book of Numbers 13 and 14, there's a picture of Moses sending out spies to go and spy out the land of Canaan, because that is the land which God had promised the children of Israel. And these men went out. And as they came back, they brought report of everything that they've seen, the fruit and how fruitful the soil was and everything that the Lord wanted them to possess. But among these men, there were others, and probably the majority, who said, man, we saw the fruitfulness. We saw how good this land is. We know that this is what God wants to give us. But we cannot help to see that there are men who possess this land currently, and we are unable to take this land because of the opposition that will exist when we take this land. And Joshua and Caleb were two of those men who reminds me of me and my friends in our zealousness, who said, no, man. We can actually take this land. We can actually claim and we can take hold of the promises that God is giving to us. And that day, it was promised to Caleb that you will possess a land. And then we pick up the story in Joshua 14, verse 6 to 7. And it reads as follows. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So we see Caleb here after 45 years coming and reminding Joshua to say, Joshua, do you remember that day? Do you remember that faithful day when you and I stood up and the Lord promised that I would find my land? And this is the day, in a sense, where I want to cash in on what the Lord had promised. You know, we see him reminding just Joshua about the promises that God had gave him. And even though he was advanced in years, he could have just settled, you know, to say, you know what, I'm advanced in years. You know, I can just lay the slide. Whether it happens, whether it doesn't happen, I don't care. You know, I'll just cruise on with my life. But we see a man here who is desperate to hold on to what God, to claim what God had promised him. And I feel like this morning there's a sense, as I was praying this weekend, I just had a sense that there's some of us here who likewise, you're sitting here with prophetic words. That you're sitting here with promises, that you're sitting here with prayers that have been prayed over you. And some of us have kind of been in a place where we've actually settled, where we actually don't believe that the Lord still wants to do what he said he would do. And I feel like this morning, more than it is a reminder to the Lord, because he doesn't forget, I feel like it's a reminder to us to say, would you just bring up those prophetic words again? Would you just bring out those prayers again that you prayed even in your zealous youth years? Would you bring up again those things that have been spoken over your life? Would you bring up again those things that the Lord said, this is what I want to do through your life? I honestly feel like there's some of us who are sitting here. You know that you have a word that is burning in your heart, but there's something in you that is maybe settled. And I feel like this morning the Lord would want to just bring those things to remembrance again and say, remember when I spoke this word over you. That it wasn't just about your youthfulness. It wasn't just about you being zealous. And it's weird that every time I prayed into this, I just felt like there are some of those among us, like Joshua, who are advanced in years. And the Lord, there's prophetic words and things. I saw this picture of an old guitar that has been lying there, covering with dust. And I saw someone just coming and blowing the dust off this guitar. And I felt like I wanted this morning to bring encouragement to those of us who are maybe advanced in years and you're thinking, man, I have nothing in me anymore. I want to say there are prophetic words probably that hasn't been fulfilled yet. And the Lord is saying, would you believe me that I can still do those things? So I pray this morning that we will have the faith to just reawaken again the desires that we once had. That as we look back at our lives, that the story and the testimony wouldn't be, man, that my best days are behind me. That the testimony is, man, I still have juice in me. That I still have faith in me. That I still have a church plant in me. That I can still plant out a comb. That I can still uproot my life and go wherever it is that the Lord is calling me to be. So the Lord is calling us not to settle this morning, but to remind ourselves of the exploits and the promises that He has spoken over our lives. So as the story just continues in Joshua 14, verse 8 to 10, he continues, Caleb saying, "But my brothers who went up with me, may the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoken this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness." And then listen to this. "And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old." I mean, I just try to picture to myself an 85-year-old man coming before Joshua and saying, "Joshua, this was what was promised." And he knew that him occupying this land, him possessing this land, wasn't going to be an easy task. He knew that there was a fighting, there was spiritual warfare, there was physical war that was awaiting for him. But yet, in his age of 85 years old, he's saying, "I still want to possess what God wants me to possess." So I would love to, when I read this scripture, I would love to believe that I'm the Caleb. With everything in me, I would love to believe that I'm that Caleb who's bold enough and strong enough at 85 years old to stand before Joshua and say, "Give me the land." I truly, everything in me wants to be that man. But I, if I'm honest with myself, I identify more with the people whose hearts melt away. And I look at my life and I realize that as I look back, that there are things, in a sense, that have cost me or that has caused my heart to melt away. And because of those things, I was actually not faithful to take hold of everything that God has for me. And I felt like this morning, and it came even slightly through the worship this morning, as the Lord was just ministering and just saying things, that I think there are some of us who, over the years, there are certain things that has actually held us back, that has caused your heart to melt away and to actually not be bold enough and brave enough to take hold of what God has for you. And as I look at my life, maybe you can relate with this as well, that the things that have caused my heart to melt sometimes is things like financial security. That I've looked at my life and I've looked at income and I've looked at everything. And because of my want, you know, like my need for security, there are times where the Lord has actually called me to step out and I didn't step out because of that. I look at my life and I can recognize that there were seasons of my life where I had more vision for my career than I had for the kingdom of God. That I was actually more interested in how Godfrey could kind of like grow up the ladders of corporate, grow up the ladders of ministry, grow up the ladders of wherever it is or whatever it is that I was doing. That I actually wasn't faithful at some times to actually say, Lord, how do you want to use me in your kingdom? And I want to use this as an encouragement to those of us who are maybe are not like Josh, who are not yet advanced in years. I want to say that you have the amazing privilege now to build your life on the rock that is Jesus. That you have a moment right now to make a decision in your heart to say your security is built in Jesus. So wherever he calls you, whatever he wants you to do, whatever career that you are entering into, that you're planning for, I hope that there's a desire to say, God, I'm not just an engineer, but how do you want to use me being an engineer for your kingdom? How do you want to use me being a lawyer, me being an accountant, whatever it is? How can my life revolve more around your kingdom and not just my career aspirations? We live in an extremely difficult place that is Stellenbosch, where you will be judged and put into categories because of what you have, because of who your friends are, because of the circles that you move in. But my encouragement to us is that we would step out of those mindsets, that we would say, God, we want your kingdom. Like above anything that this world can offer us, above anything that Stellenbosch can offer us, Lord, we want your kingdom. That the reason why God decided in this season and this time of our lives is for the sake of his kingdom. It's not for the sake of just you starting a business and flourishing, but it's for the sake of his kingdom. So some things that I look at that has caused my heart to melt is even the comforts that I built around myself and that have increasingly just made it difficult for me to take certain decisions. Or what about this? I think a lot of us maybe will identify with this. Life stages. That there are things that I've looked at and I was like, oh man, that was just for Godfrey because he was a student. You know, it was just for Godfrey because he was a youthie. He didn't have children yet. He wasn't married yet. You know, so those things are just for the zealous and for the young, for those who have time. These are the lies that we've believed. These are the lies that I've believed. That man, us possessing what God wants us to possess has nothing to do with the life stage that we're in. That we could have children, we could have families and all of these things, and we could still be at a place where we're saying, God, how can you use us as a family to advance your kingdom? I mean, how incredible wouldn't it be? Just as a family that you look back and you can say, man, these are the places. These are the lands symbolically that we've taken for the Lord. And this morning, I'm not calling anyone to strive for anything. I'm not calling you to grasp at stuff that are not there. But I honestly believe there's an inheritance that the Lord is calling you to tap into. And he's saying, do not allow any excuse or anything to hinder you from fully possessing what I have for you. So we see a man here, which I hope he'll be an encouragement to you, saying, regardless of all the other voices that spoke on the day that said we are not able to take hold of this, that he still had faith enough to believe that they could still take hold of what God wanted them to take hold of. So I think it's important to ask ourselves this morning, what are the things that have caused us to lose sight of advancing God's kingdom? I think it's a question that you and I maybe need to just sit with this morning and saying, as we just look at our lives, what are those things that have actually caused us to shrink back and to not fully possess what God wants us to possess? And as I try to land this message, it continues in Joshua 14, verse 11 to 14. And Caleb continues and he says, I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord says. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. And how incredible is that? That this man, after crying and saying, I have a desire to take hold of this thing, that Joshua comes to a place of actually blessing him to possess what it is that God wants him to possess. So I felt a very peculiar scripture for you as a congregation this morning, and I felt like it's for certain people who maybe are finding themselves in a space where you've actually, you know that there's still a lot that God has put in you. But for some reason, you have settled in a sense. And I felt this word in Psalm 2 verse 8 where it says, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. I felt like I don't know why church planted, but I felt like there's still more churches to be planted out of this congregation. I honestly felt like there's an incredible inheritance that man, we haven't even thought about, that we haven't even started to dream of everything that God would want to do out of this congregation. But it's as we release what it is that we are holding on to, as in the worship, the Lord was calling us to say, lay down whatever it is that you're holding on to so that I may release you in the fullness of what I have for you. So Hebrews 12 says, since therefore you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily clings to us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. I feel like as a congregation, there are people here that God is saying, I have called you to run. But it's as this morning, as you relieve yourself of the weight that life has put on you, the weight that circumstances have put on you, the weight that culture have put on you, the weight of even things that you have accumulated, it's as you release those things that you will be able to run the way that we'd like for you to run. So can we just stand this morning?
All right. Sorry. I can you guys sit again? Sorry. I don't want to play around here, but guys, this is a word from the Lord. You still smell the freshness of that one coming out of the oven, you know. It's still hot off the griddle. This is the Lord, if ever, you know. And, there's two groups of people that were mentioned, but I want to speak to this group now. And the reason why I want us to sit is I want you to make a stand while everybody is sitting and standing. Is those of you, and I know theologically we kind of believe the right things. You know, my best years are still in front of me and all that type of stuff. But there is a plaguing of the enemy that makes us believe that our best years are past, or this is as good as it gets in regards to the things that God has. And if that is you, that you are being plagued by these thoughts, I don't care. I know your theology is correct, but if we at least can acknowledge we are plagued with these thoughts, that we will take a stand today. I wanted to make an age group, but I thought like maybe that will be inappropriate. So if you are plagued with these thoughts at times, my best years are past, or this is as good as it gets. Can you please stand up? If you look, I'm gonna usher you. Better stand up. I'm serious. I see you. I'm contending for inheritances here today. I'm not playing around with this. I mean, this is serious. You know what we're going to do? Like, I love it. Mkhosi, come and stand here, you know. Mkhosi, don't know his age, but we'll say he's advanced in years. But he, last year he came to me, he said, I want to go to Russia. Karin is standing, guys. I don't want to make it a thing. I'm not making it a thing. Karin is not standing. Okay. So, yes, thanks. But and he came to me, he said he wants to be an intern to Russia, you know, with the students. Would it be possible? I said, well, of course it would be possible. What does your wife say? He said, she doesn't know. But if you say yes, I know she will say yes. He was taking a chance to take inheritance. He's not going down cold. He's going to go down firing, all right? And so I want us just to look around, and I want us to come around some of these people that are standing now. And I want us, as the body of Christ, that we're going to fight together. We're going to fight together for people here. I want us to come around and just look. That's the body. Come around, people. Yeah. Die Smitte. Kom. There's still a church plant in Israel.
Okay, I just felt the word on my heart for everyone here today and the congregation. It's in Job 14, and it says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Though its root grow old in the earth and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put out branches like a young plant again." And I just felt to encourage people not to forget the seed of hope that's been planted in you, in your heart.
All right. So, Father, we thank you for every inheritance that is symbolized by these arms being lifted up, Father. Lord, that it's not a plant, it's not a seed. There is plants, there's church, there's kingdom, your kingdom that will advance in nations, Father. And so, Father, we do not in any way want to tolerate a settling for something less of what you have, Father. And so, Father, right now, every thought that has been plaguing them, every lie, Lord Jesus, every discouragement that in some way has tried to settle, tried to find a root, Father, we want to break that in Jesus' name, Father. Father, we want to say, as Paul told Timothy, now, Timothy, I say, according to the prophecies previously spoken over you, fight the good fight. Fight with the words that the Lord has spoken over you. Fight with them and come against every bit of discouragement in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, and I want to say, Lord Jesus, as a church and as a body, Lord, we love one another. We enjoy one another. Father, we enjoy one another's company. But Father, even more that we want to hold on to one another's company, we want to see each one walk in inheritance. And that will mean, Lord Jesus, that some people that we love here dearly will go. But that's all right, Lord Jesus. That's all right, Lord Jesus. We're going to miss them. It's going to break us. It's going to be sore for us, Father. But Lord, there's a greater hope. There's a greater battle, Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Let every inheritance that is placed on people still come about, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, everything that wants us to settle. Oh, it's nice. We have good times together, Father. But Father, we will not cause to settle, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All right. Thank you. I'm going to pray for the second group of people. Okay. All right, so people can continue praying, you know, it's like in whatever's going on here. But I then, if we can, just for those of us that are not ministering or in ministry, just maybe close your eyes, and then we want to pray for these things. All right, guys. We wanna run this race light. We don't want to run the sprint with a wetsuit and flippers. We want to make sure any unnecessary weight will be removed. And you know them. You know the route that the career, the security of money, friendship, relationships, all these things that just subtly settle in your heart and not make you light. You run a bit heavy. Like you run a sprint with flippers. And we want to be light today. We want to free ourselves from anything that this world comes. Just to hold us to be fully, fully sold out and say, I'm a kingdom person. And so if you know, even now as Godfrey has spoken, you know, oof, there's something that just makes me unnecessarily heavy. There's a weight there. If you know that, and in some ways all of us have something that just makes us heavy. Don't you want to just acknowledge this and put up your hand? All right.
So just keep your hand just up. And likewise, I think it's always so special as a family when we actually come around each other to minister to each other. So I'm going to ask again, and we'll probably might land it there, but let's just stand up and then let's just form groups. Just look at what was the nearest hand that is to you. So those who have risen their hands, just continue to do that. Now I'm going to ask those who didn't raise their hand, just come around them and pray for them. Just come around them. So, Father, we just want to come before you this morning in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, that you say in your word, come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God, we thank you that you said that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light, God. And Lord, I just want to come before you right now, Lord. And as a family, we want to trust, Lord God, whatever burden, Lord God, whatever anxiety, Lord God, whatever thing that we may be carrying this morning, God, I pray, Lord, would you come and lift, Lord God, those burdens of us in the name of Jesus. I thank you that your word says in 1 Peter 5:17, Lord God, that cast all your anxieties upon me because I care for you. I pray this morning there'll just be a casting off, Lord God, of weight, a casting off of burdens, a casting off of anxieties, of stress, Lord God, that whatever it is that we may be holding on to, God, whether it's related to finances, whether it's related, Lord God, to relationship, whether it's related to careers, Lord God, whatever it is, Father, I pray, would you come this morning by your Spirit and remove, Lord God, any weight, Lord God, that has been put on our shoulders in the name of Jesus. And I pray for a lightness this morning, God. I pray for a yoke that is easy, and I pray for a burden that is light, Father, to know, God, you haven't called us to carry things that are burdens. Some God, you haven't called us, Father, to carry any other yoke, God, than the one that you have given us. So I pray that your yoke and your yoke alone will come and settle on our shoulders this morning in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, would you come and highlight to us, Lord God, whatever yoke that we've yoked ourselves with, God, that is not of you, Father. I pray this morning, Father, that you'll help us to untangle, Lord God, ourselves from that, God, to detach ourselves, Lord God, that a weight will be lifted off our shoulders in the name of Jesus. And as we do that, Father, that you'll replace that with your yoke that is easy and your burden that is light. Lord, we know that there is a yoke. We know that there is a burden. Lord, but we want to carry that which is of you and not which this world, Lord God, puts on us. So I pray right now, God, would you even begin to just release prophetic words, Lord God. Would you even right now release promises, God? Would you begin to release and speak, Lord God, to every individual's heart, Lord God, what it is that you have for them, God? I thank you, Father, that we're able to stand together as a family this morning and we can contend, Lord God, for the inheritance that you have in store for us in the name of Jesus.